Oh, it's getting tight. We've got beers.
We've got beers. We've got microphones.
Yep. Oh, we're very close.
A little bit. How did we do that?
Don't know.
A little bit. You know, when you're on screen, one of the things I learned from my time in television, you're meant to put people together closer. You know, when you see people like talking in a drama or whatever,
they're actually remarkably close.
Yeah, they're really close, because if you stand like a normal distance of like two and a half meters away from someone,
it looks like miles.
Looks like fucking donkeys.
Something about the effects of the camera do that. Like I noticed.
Well, it's just a long way.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I noticed when I was vlogging in China. I would be looking at stuff and I'd be like, that looks really close to me. But you look at the camera, you can barely see it. There's a gondola over there. I can see it. But then on the camera, well, it's itty bitty.
Yeah, it's like the moon. You have to be like,
motherfuck! I hope that's not the first 30 seconds.
Oh, cripes.
Use the Vivid.
Use the Vivid. Oh, you got a lighter right there. That's
very
like
Vivid.
I passed that lighter. Must be one of Lid's.
Yeah, how very vivid of you.
Yeah, yeah. These are the perfect. Lighters are perfect for opening beer bottles.
Well, Bic lighters are.
Yeah, they are. These Bic lighters. Bic's an international brand, isn't it?
They don't have them in China.
China. They don't have them in China.
China uses these cheap, like, also plastic, but very thin plastic ones that sometimes you're like, ah, I got a lighter for in my hand. Yeah.
Oh, geez, Louise. Yeah, so good. I find this as easy as using a normal bottle opener. I really do.
Yeah, if not easier.
So just a little technique. This is almost guaranteed I'm going to fuck it up.
Yeah, this is true.
You grab said
remember that
hand.
Time when you were like, something, this is really hard, then I
No, I said this a lot. I was talking, speaking of bottle openers, it was a bottle opener, I said it doesn't work. I said it was just tricky, and then you went, boom.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's one of the greatest moments of my life. Yeah,
there it is, Homer. The wittiest thing you'll ever say.
And nobody's around to hear it. Don't.
So you get your left hand, ooh, wrap it around the neck of said beer and your stubby, and you create... Then you get your lighter and you wedge it in there, and then you got a little bit of leverage there, and then
my former boss when I worked at the Auckland High Court taught me how to do that, because one of my mates from high school gifted me a key ring once, which was also a bottle opener.
Yes.
And my boss at the High Court, who was a very large gay Samoan man,
yeah, fantastic,
he saw that key ring and almost he was like, that's too gay even for me, like, you need to learn how to open a bottle like a man. So he just showed me how to do it with a lighter. The first time I did it, I remember cutting my fingers on like the teethy part of the bottle, but
it's like anything, it's difficult until you know how to do it,
and then it's like, oh, well, why didn't I just always do that?
Why I've wasted so much time.
Yeah,
I've wasted my life
not opening bottles the proper way.
But look, this is another week.
Another you and week. I,
we do feel closer this week, don't we?
It feels close.
You guys okay with that?
Live with it.
This is a rugby podcast called
2 Cents Gets Distracted and Sits Close Together.
And it's a rugby podcast.
It is.
I'm trying to get away from you.
There will be timestamps to the stuff if you want to skip the rambling, but some people like the rambling.
Some people like the rambling. We are here on a Monday, but we saw each other on a Saturday.
We did.
We grieved. Together.
We watched the Super Rugby Grand Final.
That we're
together.
Only saying that because we're just saying that's what we did. But I feel like I've seen you more recently than I usually do.
This is true because you literally have. That's how that works.
This is some grade A quality.
This is why you tune in.
This is great. Do you reckon there are even
forget all those podcasts with former international players, World Cup winners?
Yes, there's. Yeah, just a professional player.
Two guys.
Just talking absolute shit. Even for the people who like our shit talk, mm-hmm, even them, they're going, this is a rough one. This is a rough week.
Yeah.
Go on, boys. Start brewing it up, they're thinking.
Yeah, exactly.
I understand.
Get it going.
Yeah. Anything of note happened to you this week?
I've only seen, it's hard because I've only seen you like a day ago. Yep. What's happened in the last day? When I opened the door, I came into your house, you asked me what's up, and I was like, a bus tried to pass me. On the road, and you were like, yeah, there were buses here. It was great.
That was literally our conversation. I was like, what's up, man? He's like, a bus.
It didn't have enough room to pass me, but he still tried.
Then it led on to a discussion about stupid YouTube.
Dash cam footage about people who are too stubborn to let people in, and it creates incidents. Yeah. Just go with the flow.
Just chill the fuck out, people.
It doesn't matter if someone gets one car length ahead of you. It's not worth stressing about.
Look, there it goes.
We talked about whether that would happen.
Yeah, we've got lighting issue. Well, we've had this very solid light for a long time. She's a Timu light.
That's right.
And it's on its last legs.
Yeah.
And you just saw maybe its last puff.
Potentially.
Let's give it another crack, eh? Do you think it's going to last?
No, but I think you should try.
Give it a bash.
I want to see this. You won't see this, but Tony's walking over to the light. It still says it's on. Like the little blue indicator, power indicator, shows it's still on. He clicked it on. It went off. He's pushed it on again. And there you go. You can see the result. It stayed on. Don't breathe funny.
Should I put this one on standby?
You could just turn it on now if you wanted to save the hassle of having to get up again.
Guess so.
He has another light. Tony's got a room full of lights. God knows what goes on in here.
A lot of porn.
Okay.
I just turned all the lights on, but I'm watching porn.
They may not be able to hear anything you're saying right now because you're not actually talking into a microphone, but I can hear you. You're talking about pornography. Pornography, the big P. There you go. Look at that. Three lights on us. And there's the room light.
Yeah.
So
we're in a well-lit room.
We're illuminated.
Oh, geez. If anything, we're just a touch. No, this is too much now.
It's too bright.
God, I don't like this. I feel a little bit overwhelmed.
Yes. Just like the Chiefs at the weekend.
Oh. Hey, look, we've done light chat, we've done the fact that we've got nothing to chat about chat.
The bus chat.
That was a real high
point. The chat about the bus chat.
The chat about that was meta bus chat.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to get meta on us, we'll get meta on you, motherfuckers. But as people know, this is called...
2 cents gets distracted.
It's a rugby podcast.
On the agenda today... I have the Super Rugby final.
We have an agenda.
I have the Lions up against Argentina.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
All Blacks squad naming, which happened earlier today.
Oh, shake me down, mama.
And some upcoming fixtures for the week.
Oh, bend me over and beat me hard.
There you go. So that's what you're in for on this episode of
2 cents Get Distracted. It's a rugby podcast.
Available on all your favorite podcasting platforms, including Apple Podcasts.
Radio.
Apple Podcasts.
And wherever else you get your flipping podcast, there's a good chance we'll be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably. Unless you forget to push publish again.
Yeah. There have been occasions I've forgotten to press publish.
Not very often.
But it has happened.
Do we start with Super Rugby? Because that was a final. It wasn't like an exhibition match.
It was not an exhibition match. It wasn't a humiliating exhibition match. But it was a very, very sad and somber occasion down there in the Village of the Damned, Christchurch. Sad times. It was, and you know what? If you're a Crusaders fan, you must just love it. Just bathing in everybody else's tears, bathing in the fact that everyone's like, "Oh, it's bad for the game watching the same team win every year." You know, I kind of love being in that. I love it when people hate Auckland and Auckland wins. Like I kind of love your hate.
Do you remember the year when we played the Crusaders in the final and they beat us up here at Eden Park?
Mm.
Leading into that final, my assumption was, surely everyone wants the Blues to win because the Crusaders always fucking win.
But no,
everyone was still like, I would rather see the Crusaders win it for the umpteenth time
because
than
they
those fucking Blues to win.
I worked it out. That was there, so that's why it was crammed in.
There you go.
Anyway. Okay, yeah, it's odd, isn't it?
I did find it strange, but I can live with it.
We are very disliked, us Aucklanders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it runs deeper than rugby.
Mm.
Yeah, we're just up here paying taxes, keeping the country afloat. It runs that deep because Jeff is like, they say stuff like that.
Exactly. While sipping a latte.
That's right. How many lattes have you had this week?
I think I have had one. It's only Monday. I think I did have a latte today.
You like a latte?
Don't mind a latte.
You bloody latte.
No, actually, it was Sunday, so this week, none.
I have
oatmeal. I got a latte because my wife likes a latte. She's not even from Auckland.
Mine's a... my go-to is a small oat milk flat white with an extra shot.
You fucking Jaffa. That's terrible.
What's wrong with oat milk? You know how hard it is to milk an oat? You're going to sit there squeezing on the oat's nips for ages.
Can I hit you with something slightly controversial?
Hit me with it.
There are some. I think it's probably one of those ones where the minority of people don't represent the majority.
Uh-huh.
But there's a small minority of Crusaders fans who are pretty fucking sensitive.
Oh, yeah?
Because, yeah, in recent weeks I've said a couple of things.
And I
mentioned the crowd at the semi-final was not great, and there were a few bites.
Yes.
Like, not jovial bites, like
fuck you bites.
And then, you know, we watched the final together.
Yeah, we live-streamed
it. And we did a post-match review together. Which I thought was, like, fairly well-balanced.
We gave them their flowers. They said they were a fantastic franchise.
There were things such as, North Island fans need to grow up.
Oh, wow.
There was talk about being salty.
And
there was, numerous things about, stop complaining.
All right.
Now, I didn't think we were complaining.
We were clearly unhappy.
I put the transcript.
Yes.
Sometimes I need to sense check myself. If I get a bit of feedback, I'm like, all right.
Maybe
I did say something which was a little bit provocative. So I put the YouTube transcript.
That
bit where
you took your penis out. That was pretty far.
I put it into the AI, the ChatGPT, and I said, I didn't even say it was me. I just said, hey, can you analyze this transcript and see is it sore losery? Is it magnanimous? Is it neutral? What is it?
Yes.
The AI.
What did the AI say?
The AI basically said, for the too long, didn't read version.
Yes.
If you're worried viewers might think these fans are sore losers, in bold, they're not.
Mm-hmm.
They have a mix of disappointment with fair praise,
mm-hmm.
use humor to cushion the loss,
yes.
and recognize the better team won. They sound like knowledgeable and passionate rugby fans. Well, knowledgeable.
Oh, so knowledgeable.
Clearly the AI doesn't know jack shit, but...
You're the knowledgeable part.
I feel like that matches with how I felt after the game.
Yeah.
We quite openly said we didn't want them to win.
No, we didn't want them to win the 8 out of the last nine years. It's quite painful.
Yeah.
It sucks.
It's not that I don't like you. I just don't want you to win.
I don't like you and I don't want you.
Because you guys always win. If it was the Brumbies who had 15 titles or whatever it is, I would be like, I don't want the Brumbies to win.
Yeah.
No matter what sport it is. If it's like Manchester City didn't win the Premier League this year, I was like, I'm glad. I don't give a shit about the Premier League.
Yeah. I would have been happier with any other team winning.
Yeah.
I would have been chuffed with us winning. I think I would want us to win, but I think I would have been even happier if somehow...
An Aussie team had won?
No, not an Aussie team won.
If, fuck that.
but if the Moana Pacifica didn't shit the bed at the end and they were able to pull off the...
We were quite open about the fact that it would be a great storyline for them to make the finals.
Incredible.
And that would have been at the detriment of our own team.
Yeah, and we were like, happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
We went pretty damn close to getting into the final.
Mm. Would have been kind of undeserved. We mentioned that.
Yeah. But and then imagine that. Going out, then pinching it in Waikato, then pinching it in Christchurch.
Yeah.
Well, why are we saying imagine that? It didn't happen.
But yeah.
The fucking Crusaders.
I didn't think
won.
That kind of thing was going to rub people the wrong way.
Yeah. Well, when you're like super happy and you're chuffed with your team's achievements and somebody doesn't share your feelings of chuffness, you lash out. You know, everybody has their frame of reference.
Mm.
Maybe they had abusive parents. I don't know. Like, don't be so happy. Fucking boom. You know, everybody has their life and may have had a fight with the missus or something bad happening and just like, fuck these guys.
True.
These assholes need to be happy about the team that always wins winning again. Yeah. People like to vent their bullshit online.
This is true.
What's the angriest thing you've ever written online? I don't know.
I don't think I've written much angry stuff online. I remember when I first started the channel, there was one guy who was trolling me and I bit real hard. And I got into a real back and forth with him and the dude didn't even understand was it a percentage? He didn't get percentages. And I was like, why am I arguing with a guy who doesn't even understand what a fucking percentage is?
So you were saying 50% of the time.
I was like, I'd done some stats breakdown. He was like, that's bullshit. And I was like breaking it down for him and he just kept coming at me and I just kept biting. This was years ago.
Maybe he was just trying to get you.
He might have been trolling. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know.
I should have just left it.
I can't remember a time that I've written...
I've never initiated an angry conversation.
I remember being really young and idealistic and watching something on Fox News and writing a comment going, as a member of the concerned international community, can you please stop your propaganda? Or something like that when I was like 23 or something.
You rebel.
Yeah. That's all. I don't really write any comments.
Yeah, me neither.
I write comments in your chat when you're live streaming.
That's true.
It's about as far as it goes.
Most comments are usually constructive and add value.
I
just didn't think North Islanders need to grow up.
Anyway, let's talk about the rugby.
I didn't think that was very...
You know, I didn't think that was very nice.
No.
I'm a grown-up boy.
Exactly. I'm 40 years old.
41, motherfucker. Anyway...
As we said at the time, the Crusaders deserved to win that
they
final.
They sure did. Hats off to them. They did incredibly
Someone
well.
Someone did ask, why am I not in the Crusaders gear? And I was like, well, I'm at Tony's house. I didn't bring my wardrobe with me. I didn't bring, three kits in case,
You do bring your lingerie usually when you come over.
This is true. But I'm in the Crusaders kit today, belatedly. So there you go. My wife even said, as I was out the door, she's like, "Oh, that kit looks nice."
Did she really?
Yeah.
Did she say the words kit?
No, she didn't say kit.
What did she say?
That jumper.
That jumper looks nice, darling.
Yeah.
Something along those lines?
Something like that. Because I hadn't, she said, you don't come wear that. Back she home. Said, you don't wear that one very often.
Come back home and we'll, that's true. Come back home and we'll pretend it's your birthday. That sort of thing?
Yeah, exactly. Got to go real early tonight, honey.
What happens on your birthday? You get
the
an ice
Crusaders
cream cake.
Crusaders won 16 points to 12.
They did.
Which probably, as some people said, makes it look closer than it was.
Two tries to one. The Chiefs out tried them, but it always felt like the Crusaders were the better team, better defense, more composed in the pressure moments, much more dominant at scrum time. Mm-hmm. Looked more desperate throughout and desperate on defense.
50-50 plays, they were getting them.
Did the loose ball, especially that last 10 minutes where it was still all on the line. The Chiefs were obviously doing everything could, but just looked a little bit short of a hop, really, to get to the ball. They were chasing hard, but there was always just a Crusaders man who wanted it more.
High balls were a bit of the Chiefs' issue.
Damian McKenzie.
My dad sent me a message earlier to say, tell Tony not to blame it all on Damian McKenzie.
Well, I didn't think he played well.
He said it's a 23-man game. You can't just blame Damian.
I'm not just blaming Damian, but the first five is generally probably the most crucial player on the field for getting a team around the park and having composure and making good decisions and not getting flustered and making key times to get points on the board. So, yeah, as I said before, get teams in the right areas. And he had maybe a couple of moments where he looked lively on the ball, but other than that, his in-game kicking was nothing to write home about. Very few exceptional moments.
Mm.
And if you have a world-class first five who plays pretty average and you've got to the final based on his brilliance, you're pretty unlikely to win.
Crusaders said Rehana played pretty well.
He did. He's a solid guy, eh? He's a solid player. I thought he didn't actually play that well against the Blues. I thought he was a little bit off the ball during that game. So I think in the Battle of the Tens, he definitely outshined D-Mac.
Mm.
Does D-Mac have a bottling issue? Does he bottle it in the big games?
He's getting a bit of a reputation for it, eh?
Like, he's great when it's front foot, the pressure's off a little bit, and he's able just to show us.
A flat track bully, you reckon?
I just want to see him grab a tight game by the scruff of the neck.
Mm.
You see Bodie do it still. Like, Bodie sometimes does dumb plays, but at least he's, really trying to set the game alight.
I feel we have seen D-Mac do it, but maybe not in a final or a knockout
a test,
game.
I can't remember a test
where
match.
Everything's on the line.
He's come on.
Chance.
I don't think we've really seen nearly his best in an All Black jersey. Mm. What's a game, All Black game, where you can think, oh yeah, he was just carving up? Because the thing about it, as well as he's immensely talented, he's mercurial, but he's very small. He's a small man. And and sport can be great because we can have brilliant small men, but you need to be insanely exceptional. And he is so good at every other level, but just when he quite gets to those big moments, big games, he just doesn't have that extra level of physicality to be able to rely on, to be able to be more confident in those situations. I don't know. To have more resilience in those situations. I don't know whether it's purely just down to a stature, but a big good guy will always beat like a really good little guy.
Is that a fighting reference? Boxing?
There is some metaphor out there that I'm struggling to find, but there is some sort of sporting metaphor that I've heard before.
I asked you on the day if you thought that game had been played in Hamilton, whether the Chiefs would have won it, and you said, nah, you still think the Crusaders would have won it. Let me shift that question.
Yeah.
If that game is played in the afternoon and it's warm and there's no rain, there's no dew on the ball, do you think the Chiefs win that game?
I think that actually changes things a fair bit more.
Because, I mean, that game, 16-12, three tries all up, it was a finals final. It was like a, you know, old school rugby, like diehards. You're probably not going to watch that this one.
Back in the day, like it was a daytime final. Like,
yeah.
And it was great. I went to the first bloody, I went to the very first Crusaders victory.
Really?
That one where they did the last
minute try.
Was it Stensness or Tanu'u who didn't dive on the ball?
Third year of Super Rugby, right?
Yeah, we'd won the first two and then we shat the bed on the in the second. But it was, it's awesome going to like, and like this real carnival event, like it's all building up throughout the day and then, you know, it's late afternoon. What, at 3 o'clock?
Something like that. 2-3 o'clock,
Yeah, it was awesome. And, you know, not so much dew on the ball and, the Crusaders are like, oh, we love the wet weather, cold stuff. Yeah. And it's like, oh, yay. And it's sucks. It's not it's not great conditions to watch running rugby. Like, what kind of way I watch, like watching, you know, like watching NPC and watching even First 15 footy because it's all daytime stuff.
Well, someone mentioned, like, why do we play this, like, you know, showpiece game down in Christchurch in fucking miserable conditions in the, you know, at the start of the night? But it's basically because of the broadcast.
Yeah, it sucks.
It's like they want it to be a better broadcast zone for other parts of the world, but you'd get better rugby if you played it just a wee bit earlier in the day.
Yeah, 100%. Like those old finals with Joely Vendieri and a Ronnie Clark and Zinzen Brock and stuff like that during the day, they were some immense games. They really, really were. Does it change this game? I think the Crusaders still win it. I think just the mentality and belief in themselves and ability to back that belief up with performance after performance after performance. 32 finals victories in a row in Christchurch. It's tough stuff.
It would have been a better game.
It wasn't a great, it wasn't a fantastic watch.
It was an arm wrestle. It was an intense game, but it wasn't like...
Yeah.
I can see that. It's not 2015.
Fletcher Newell injured now.
Is he?
Is it? I thought he's injured himself, has he?
I thought he was all right. Okay. Jacobson's injured.
Yeah. I felt very sad for Clayton McMillan. Three finals in a row, not been able to get the chocolates.
That's brutal, isn't it?
Yeah, sucks.
I didn't mind it last year.
Oh, two in a row. Hard luck, mate. Three in a row.
Ooh. Three in a row is a bit rough. Two of them against the Crusaders.
Yeah. One of them at home.
That's the one they needed to win.
Yeah.
And they probably shouldn't have let this final be played down in Christchurch, to be honest, by losing to us.
Yeah, that was bad.
So, yeah, to be fair, the Chiefs good all season, but in the finals, barring the Brumbies game, not that good.
Yeah. They're postseason.
Some teams are like that. Like regular season side, fucking really good. Come to the knockout stages when the pressure's on.
I think the Blues looked better in the postseason.
If anything, yeah. Blues look to have more of that big game mentality because two playoff games and we look good in both of them. Mm. So.
We did.
Crusaders, I reiterate the point. I didn't want you to win.
You won. Congratulations.
But you won
it's
fair
incredible.
And square. And a great story for Rob Penny.
Yeah, fantastic.
Because that guy was crucified last year.
Well, we crucified him.
Well, the team was playing shit. They had injuries, but...
You take over from a team that's won seven in a row and you don't make the finals. It's pretty clear.
That's a story.
And it's a pretty clear line to go, oh, the coach must be shit.
Mm-hmm. You know, he's especially seeing he's been shit with the Waratahs prior to that, and
yeah.
So it's not the first time he had a shitty coaching gig, but no, they did. They did well,
and they held on to him. Yeah, I thought it was lucky.
Credit to the organization for sticking with him. They didn't pull the trigger and break his contract or anything. Gee, you did this on the live stream as well. You fucking got.
I'm trying to do it over the thing, but then somehow.
You got all over your pants now.
This is becoming a.
It's embarrassing. Goodness gracious me. It's not what I signed up for when you suggested we start a podcast.
Do you want to come around every week and watch me
spill beer all over myself?
All over my crotch.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hold on.
Oh, Crusaders keep crusading on.
They do. Congratulations.
The Cody Taylor trial was pretty nice.
Do you hear about... Sneaky wee. Oh, that was great. And that was like the one moment they just switched off. The Chiefs bloody... They didn't play badly as a team, really. The Crusaders are just so in your face. The defense is just so impenetrable at sometimes, and they give you very little.
Yeah.
They're on the loose ball so quickly. They're very combative in the collision.
Yeah.
I think they won the collision all night, and the scrum was too good, and their decision making and direction around the park from Rihanna, better. So they win the game. And we cry into our beers.
Bloody North Islanders.
Bloody North Islanders.
Grow up, you bastards.
You took that quite personally, didn't you?
It just felt weird.
Just felt weird.
Because it was like, it was all, they had some preamble to it as well. Like, I've been holding on to this now, but now that the game's over, I can finally say it. And I was like, okay.
Right. Did he say that?
Something like that.
Was it in our comments of our chat?
The post-match review, yeah.
All right. Sorry about that, mate.
Shit happens.
It does.
Shit happened to the Lions as well. Oh. They got beaten.
Oh, you know what? I thought that this was a really, marketing-wise, missed opportunity. You know why?
Tell me.
Battle of the Cats.
Yeah, true.
Pumas and the Lions. Yeah. Which pussy's going to win? You know?
You've been waiting to use that line, haven't you?
No.
That this came to you?
It did.
Moment of inspiration?
I've been waiting to talk about the Cats now, but then I was like, this is a great time to drop a pussy line.
There you go.
The Pumas pussies beat the Lion pussies.
Now, I have an issue to take with some people in the comments of this video as well.
Fuck, you're in a vendetta.
Yeah, I know.
Some pussies in the comments.
Because in my match review for this one, I mentioned that it was my chance to vent in the comments. I mentioned that it was a bit of an upset, and the reason I said that is because
I'd say it was an upset.
The Lions were like 15-point favourites or whatever with the bookies, which is fucking massive. It's more than 2-try favourites.
That's
which
more
is
than the All Blacks are when they play the Pumas.
Exactly. And they were at home, even though if it's Ireland, but still at home, even if it's a lot of English players and whatnot, but they're not, you know, they're in Argentina.
And the Inviva.
And then, like, Justin, I know the Pumas are the fifth best team in the world, right? But their number 12 has played once for the Pumas before.
Aye, aye, captain.
One of their wingers has played twice.
Yes.
Their reserve, I think it's loose-headed, uncapped. Reserve hooker, uncapped. Reserve tight-head, one cap.
Wow.
Reserve loose forward, one cap?
And this is the first time these two teams have played?
And if it was the full-strength Pumas side that plays in the Rugby Championship with all their guys, I would have said, yeah, that's not really an upset. That's a good game.
Yeah.
But this was a cobbled together Pumas side, albeit the Lions is inherently a cobbled together side.
Yeah, it's the nature of the team. But they had test
veterans to call upon, whereas the Pumas were calling upon guys who play semi-professional rugby in Argentina.
You know who's
there was a fucking upset.
You know who's a bloke who just can't win a game?
Andy Farrell?
Jack Morgan.
Oh yeah, Jack Morgan.
He's like, can I just be on one winning team? Please, for the love of God.
You know, another loss. Is Jack Morgan cursed?
Jack Morgan's a great player, bad luck. That's what they call some golfers. Good player out of luck. He's a good player out of luck, old Morgies. Morgie Porgies. You know what, though? Before we start dicing up anyone's performance or anything like that.
Oh, you got some comments that you want to talk about. Some YouTube comments that you want to unleash your anger on.
If I got angry at every time someone took a barb at me, I wouldn't have any. We wouldn't talk about anything else.
Oh, true.
And then the guy said, the guy with the hat on the right doesn't know what he's fucking talking about.
Oh, there was that. I think there was that in the comments as well.
Yeah, there's always that one. I'm like, so, yeah, good on you. I agree and I like them.
Yeah.
But no, but what I was trying to say was it was a great game. Really enjoyable game to watch.
If you were gonna rewatch one of the games from the weekend, you'd be watching the Lions game just to watch those Argentinian tries again and again and again.
Yeah, 100%. And I thought that the Lions came to play as well, but they just didn't play as well.
Yes.
Like, in terms of the styles, the Argentinian played like Argentinian teams play. They've got
under Contepomi. The old coaches used to just play fucking let's kick and tackle.
He loves to use his backs. He loves them to back their skills. He loves them to offload in the tackle.
Own 22-meter line. Don't give a shit. Let's just have a run.
Go for it. And they've got very, very good at doing that. They've got great systems in place to do it, and they've got the skill set to do it.
It's one of those ones where the Pumas used to be a team, like, was it 2003 or 2007, where it was like, big fucking forwards, not much else.
But they've totally flipped on their head. What's the guy that you don't like? The guy's real loud, tries to G everyone up in the crowd.
Oh, Joey Wheeler.
Joey Wheeler would get on if he had to do some punting about the Argentinians. The first thing he would say was, the Argentinians, big meat men.
They got some big fucking Argentinian
beef
with the
scrum. Because he doesn't know what else to say.
Yeah. That's what they traditionally have been, but they flipped on their head.
Yeah, they're not that really anymore.
Of the best backs in the world.
But the strange thing to me was they were playing that Argentinian Contepomi brand, and the Lions said, we can do that too.
They offloaded a lot.
They were offloading all over the place. It looked as though that must have come from Farrell because of the amount that they were actually doing. They wanted to play expansive rugby.
Yeah.
But
because the Irish definitely took a step in that direction between Farrell and Schmidt. Like, after Farrell took over from Schmidt, they started getting a bit more expansive.
I think if the Lions played a little bit less festival rugby and more like, this is a test match, we need to... This is a serious test match. This is a serious team we're playing, and kept it tight. They had dominance in the collision and had dominance in the forwards.
Yeah,
and if they kept it tighter, I think they'd win.
I think if the Lions, like you said, if the Lions stick that up the jumper, if they just consistently look for scrums and mauls and stop offloading and just play straight up the guts, I feel like the Lions probably win that one.
To your point. About the weather and the times of the day to play it. Played like apparently it was the best, hottest day of the year.
People were saying it was scorching.
Sunny run weather to play rugby.
Running rugby,
and that's what you get. Those sort of results.
And maybe if you'd taken the locations and swapped them, put the Chiefs in that Dublin match, maybe they beat the Crusaders. But if you take the Lions to Christchurch, they probably beat the Pumas.
Yeah, I'm getting very confused. So the Lions are in Christchurch.
Playing the Chiefs in the Super Rugby final. How many world rankings points would they get?
And then they beat the Pumas? What the fuck? Yeah. Okay. So you're saying you just swap both teams.
Yeah, but swap the locations.
Imagine all the Lions fans turning up and going, what the fuck are the Crusaders and the Chiefs here?
They're playing running rugby though. Yeah. Great. Look at D-Mac.
Look at him go. That guy's a once in a generation talent.
Yeah. But I do think, the Lions didn't pick the right game plan. I mean, they picked an expansive game plan, which was fun to watch.
Yeah.
But they probably could have just mauled them.
Yeah, they could have just mauled them. I thought they didn't play... I didn't even think they played badly. Mm. Like, the Argentinians played really fucking well.
They only really... In the second half, the Argentinians didn't have many chances, but they scored that one scorcher through Cordero. Like,
just amazing.
Again, from their own half... Dink up the field, like fake kick. Like, there was some fucking nice moments from the Pumas.
Fucking Pumas, man. Pumas putting their hand up saying, come down, play a series in our bloody backyard. Yeah. You think you're good enough? Give us a shot, you big old red bastards.
Yeah, well, if they don't want to do that, they should at least play. Like, the opening match should always be against the Pumas.
Yeah.
Every tour starts with a match against the Pumas.
So this is game one of a 12-year series?
Yeah, exactly. Different generations, generation after generation.
Yeah, I think that, and hopefully it's good for the Lions in the long run that they were just like, oh shit, they towed them up. What did you think of Itoje? Did he show any leadership quality out there? Did he say, all right, look, this isn't going our way. Let's give it to me, lads. Follow me up the middle.
I saw him post-match. He definitely looked pretty disappointed.
He's articulate as all fuck. He's a very intelligent guy, but I don't think he played like a leader on the field, in my opinion, in this particular game. He's capable of playing fantastic, but I don't know if that was a game that he will want to look back on with any... The midfield, I don't know if Bundy Akeh and Tuipulotu really synced up very well.
No.
And similar sort of players in a lot of ways.
Yeah, well, they both usually play 12.
Brown and Tipperdeans.
Joe Schmidt got himself into a bit of hot water for saying... Like, when they'd named the team, the Lions team, and then Joe Schmidt named his Wallaby squad to play Fiji.
Yeah.
He got asked in the conference, like, oh, what do you think about this Lions squad? Like, what do you think about... And he said, I think they asked him directly about the midfield. And he was like, oh, yeah. A couple of Southern Hemisphere lads. And people took that as like a dig that he's like giving them shit for using Southern Hemisphere players. He was just saying that they're good players.
You should get shit, by the way, motherfuckers. It's the Lions. It's meant to be the best of the team from your aisles. You literally could have Jameson Gibson-Park, Bundy Akeh, Tuipulotu, and what's the massive... Duhan.
Mac Hansen.
And Duhan Finley and James Bielan. Lowe in your back line. Really great homegrown talent. I don't give a fuck them playing for Ireland or Scotland. I just think it's bit shit when there's this grand historic concept of the Lions and it's the greatest talent you could pull out of your little isles. And you fucking pillage. And you're like, oh, you guys take from Samoa and Tongan. They were born here, bitch. I just don't like it. And they don't feel like it. Don't feel right. It don't feel right. I'm going to say this a couple more times throughout this tour.
You're going to get shit for it. And then there'll be some people who'll quietly agree with you.
Oh, for you people quietly agreeing with me, I appreciate it. And you don't have to comment. I know you're out there. It's not. That's so that literally, how many players.
Joe Schmidt wasn't trying to give them shit.
Well, I am. How many players on a back line?
The 9, the 10, the 11, the 12, the 13, the 14, the 15.
That's so they seven. Could have, they there could be an actual British and Irish born 10 and 15.
Yeah, if they played Mac Hansen on the right wing.
But James Lowe as well. Does James Lowe go into fullback?
You could first slot one of them in at fullback.
Put James Lowe at fullback, Mac Hansen.
Aussie, a Kiwi and a South African back three. Kiwi 9.
Yeah, Kiwi 9.
And the Aussie 12
and Aussie 12 Tuipulotu and Bundy Akeh at 13.
Oh yeah, sorry, other way around. Yeah, yeah. But Akeh at 12, Tuipulotu at 13. Yeah,
and they're all. I don't think Mac Hansen makes the. You reckon?
Maybe.
Jeez Louise, fuck me.
He'll know the grounds pretty well.
Yeah, the Antipodean Classics versus Australia. The mercenary men versus Australia.
Oh, you're really digging that in now, aren't you?
I don't, for some reason, I don't get, I think it's absolutely fine. I think it's actually great that they play for those international teams. But the Lions is a different kind of concept.
What about Mac Hansen, who's like half Irish?
His mum's Irish.
One of them is Irish, yeah. Does that soften the blow? Or when he opens his mouth and the Aussie twang comes out, you're just like, fuck it, Aussie!
He's like, fuck those assholes. Shove it. Yeah, he sounds ochre as, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But then they could play a team as that is. And they don't have any, there any forwards that are from? Oh, yeah.
Bielam is an Aussie.
Schoeman?
The tight head prop. Schoeman, the loose head props are Saffa.
Yeah.
Yep.
What is your take? You're staying very quiet on my...
I mean, if you listen to your gut, it doesn't feel that right, but it doesn't... I don't know, man. Like, we just picked Tava Tavanawa for the All Blacks, and he's a Fijian.
He's a dead set.
Like, there are some who are like, you know, like you said, the vast majority of the guys who people are like, oh, you guys steal Pacific talent, the vast majority either grew up here or were born here. Because... there's a lot of immigration from the Pacific Islands to New Zealand.
Dead set.
But like Sevi Reese and Tava Tavanawai, like if those guys weren't All Blacks.
They should be playing for Fiji.
They should be playing for
you
Fiji.
You can take Sevi if you like.
Yeah.
Waisaki Naholo was a dead set Fijian.
Yeah.
Rapini Thautau Nombuka, he'd never play for the All Blacks. Sidivini Sivavatu.
Yep, Fijian.
He was a dead set Fijian. A lot of Fijians we take. Yeah. But all like the Tongans and Islanders.
Most of them.
Like
someone in Tokyo came here at like 16 or something, which is like borderline. But he came here on like a school like tour.
Play for the first
time. His school came to tour New Zealand or something, high school. And then the talent scouts were just like, he's pretty fucking good.
How about we just billet you at the Stevens house for a year and you play for the Auckland Grammar first of day?
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah. That happens a lot.
But that's the minority.
Mm.
It's not the majority.
Mm. But yeah. We don't take them when they're already fully fledged. Oh, well, Sitaveni Sivavasu and all those guys didn't come across. They started their professional careers in New Zealand.
Most of them.
Yeah. But anyway.
We're getting way distracted.
Yeah, we really are. I just think the whole concept of the Lions, it just doesn't sit with me right for the Lions concept. Anyway.
The Lions line-out was a bit shit.
The Lions line-out?
Yes.
It was, wasn't it?
It was kind of all over the shop, but their scrum looked nice.
Mm. A line-out, you can imagine like a team coming together.
Mm.
Like
new calls, all that new shit. Partnerships, locks and loosies and hookers all need to get together on the same page.
Fantastic. I like the way you name some positions
rugby
there.
Rugby positions, because I'm knowledgeable.
He's a knowledgeable rugby pundit. Would you reckon
when I was at the University of Auckland, I used to run the knowledge base? Yeah, it was my job for a while. I had the knowledge, and I was based.
It's a call center, isn't it?
It was a call center job, yes.
Mm. Yeah.
At least I wasn't answering the phones.
I had a call center job once. I had two call center jobs in my life.
Mm-hmm.
One was tele fundraising.
Okay.
Ringing people up during dinner saying, can you give us some money for this charity?
Rough.
I was fine with it. I liked it when people used to abuse me. I was like, yeah, fair enough. Yeah, yeah, I'm calling you during dinner.
Yeah.
And then I had another one where I was working for a travel insurance company and people would ring me up when something, it was horrible actually, something fucking awful had happened to them.
On their holiday.
While they're on holiday and they're the most stressed out they've ever been in their life. And then they've got this fucking super, they've just gone, we've just been mugged. We don't know where our passports are. What should we do? And you go, and then you're like, and it's just me on the phone. I go, oh, fuck, oh, that's bad. Go to the police station. And pay and claim. Pay your expenses and then claim it
back.
And claim it back. And they're like, is there anything else we should do? If you're injured, go to the hospital and pay and claim.
Helpful.
Yeah.
Real helpful.
Yeah, yeah. Not much fun.
No. I don't like doing outbound calls.
Yeah, that wasn't much fun at all.
Yeah, at least that's inbound.
So I was pretty young and this guy rang me up. And he was like, it was meant to be getting on a flight. And then he was like, so I've got this flight. I'm meant to be flying to somewhere in Asia. And he was like, but I've got a prolapsed rectum. And I was like, oh, okay. And then he was like, what should I do? And I was like, oh, can you fly with it? And he's like, yeah, I can kind of just pop it back in. But it kind of is coming out quite a lot at the moment. And I was like, oh, okay, well, if you feel like you can fly, that's all good. But to be honest, I was naive and I didn't actually know what a prolapsed rectum was. So while I was talking to him...
You're Googling it?
I Googled it and Google image prolapsed rectum. And on the phone I went, whoa, fuck! Holy shit, dude.
Oh, man.
Your asshole's hanging out. You probably need to go to a doctor. Fuck, I didn't even know.
Oh, God.
Hey, claim, bro. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, he wanted to know whether he would get his flight...
reimbursed.
Yeah, basically. I wonder what happened to him.
Let us know if that was you. Let us know how you got on with that.
Yeah.
Did you get on the flight?
Yeah, fucking hell.
Good times.
So that was stuff that happened.
Yeah, Lions scrum was good. Lions line-out was crap. Their offloading game probably needs a bit of refinement. They might want to rein that in a little bit. And the Pumas have a bit more depth than maybe giving credit for.
What a win. What a win for the Pumas, eh? Kontopomi getting another massive scalp. That's a fucking huge scalp. They bet the All Blacks, the South Africans, the Lions, the Australians, the English. They've bet everyone.
That's it. I mean, the Lions' first game was always going to be...
a good time to get them on the hop.
But again, the Puma squad was as hodgepodge as the depleted. Lions one. Yeah, very depleted. Mm. A bunch of guys who'd never played together before, so...
Quite exceptional, really.
Yeah, I think so. Well done.
I clap for you. We've been in a very bright room tonight. Well, okay, here we go. Look at this.
Got a full list of names.
Throw some names at me.
The All Blacks.
So the All Blacks were named today.
And we have pilfered a Dutchman and a Fijian.
Yes, there we go. And that the rest of them all Kiwi born?
Oh, well, no, Duplessis has a South African sounding name.
He does.
But he is a Kiwi.
Okay, can I give you, he's a Māori, isn't he?
I believe so.
Can I give you my one concern?
Okay. There's no Hoskins Tutu and you're upset.
I would have liked him to sneak
it's
in.
It's given you a prolapsed rectum with the stress.
I was listening to, a little bit of it today, of Razor and Jason, what's his name?
Ryan.
And the other Stew, the other Scott, sorry. There's so many Scots. And I worry a little bit. They were saying things like, once players get the All Black jersey on, they go to another level. Something magical happens. And it's just a privilege to be around it and all this sort of shit.
Mm-hmm.
I just worry that these guys are drinking the fucking Kool-Aid a little bit. At the end of the day, it's a fucking rugby team that needs to be really fucking good. They're not wizards, you know. And if you're talking about them as if they're God's gift to rugby, before they've even played a fucking second of a test match this year, and it's just the awe and within the team you're talking about just how incredible talk about the privilege it is and the challenger in front of you, but just take it to another level. It's just like it's onanastic. They're jacking themselves off. It's self-indulgent. Like, give me a good rugby team and then we'll jack you off. Okay, mm-hmm. Don't jack yourselves off. I let everyone else talk about the aura of the All Blacks, you know, the dominance, the style of play, all the things that people associate with good All Black teams. But I just, and you know, and you can say it's a massive privilege and all that sort of thing, and it's a huge responsibility.
Mm.
But talking about how they go to another level, I don't think Steve Hansen ever did that. He was just like, we're just trying to put a good rugby team together, you know, some blokes been playing pretty well, we'll give them a shot and we'll see how they go, you know. It was a lot more sort of
down to earth, less magic.
Understated. It was not espousing your own majesty, you know, like it's a massive privilege, it's an honor, all that sort of stuff, but put your dick away. That's my point. Did you feel that? Is that a point?
Yeah.
Okay, I made a point.
That's a point.
It's a point. Point one, Tony.
They kept talking about wanting to have guys who are good on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
It's almost like they were kind of giving some guys shit for being a bit one-dimensional. And some of the one-dimensional guys didn't get selected. Like Hoskins, who always gets shit for being, you know, great ball in hand, but then not doing the work on defense. And then like Todd Christie, who's the big tackle machine from the Crusaders, but basically that's his game.
Yeah.
He doesn't get selected either. Even though he was a
Don Papali'i, he doesn't make it this year.
Ethan Blackadder didn't make it. David Harvili didn't make it. I thought he was a shoo-in. He's a Crusader.
He's really good.
And he's been in good form.
Yeah, he's been in great form.
Mm. They picked every fucking other midfielder in there.
Yeah, that is a bit of a rough one on him, I thought.
Not that I think he's a guy who's ever really shone in the All Blacks jersey. It just feels like if there's a year where he's done enough, this is probably the year.
Yeah. I think he had some... He's had some good moments in the All Black jersey, but
so we got Fabian Holland. He's a Dutchman who moved to New Zealand at age 16 to play rugby.
Incredible.
So once again, we're poaching the Dutch talent of the world. He is the only guy in the squad who's genuinely over 2 meters tall. He's a fucking big unit. Like all the other guys, like Scotty Barrett's 197, Paddy and Vaia are like 198. So he's proper, like 204. He's a big fucking guy.
He's 204, and he's the number four lock in that squad.
Yeah, he's the youngest by a mile. He's 22. Vi's 25, and the other guys are in their 30s. So
he's got a bit of meat on his bones as well.
And he's big work rate. I wouldn't say he's like, you know, Brody Rattel, like exceptionally like skillful, talented just yet. But he's a big fucking guy.
Yeah.
So
and we can see what he develops, and he's still young.
He's still very young. He's only just finished growing, for God's sake. 22. Yeah. He's one of the Highlanders. Tava Tava Nawai, as I said, poaching the Pacific. I don't know when he moved to New Zealand, but he had one born here.
He looks pretty fresh.
Yeah, I suppose so. But he's been... In a Highlander side, which is pretty shit this year, he's been busting tackles, winning turnovers, getting offloads. Like, he's genuinely looked quite exceptional. Yeah. And he can play on the wing and in the midfield. Yeah. Freshly.
Yeah, and he's got that work rate, doesn't he?
He's 27, yeah. So for an All Blacks pick in the back, he's kind of young. Old. Old.
I think that's the opposite of what you're saying.
That's right. I just went for the wrong word entirely.
Yeah. You must feel foolish.
He's there. I do. I almost feel like I need to grow up.
Yeah. Whoa, he's still, man, you should cop the amount of shit that I got. I know. God. Okay. Tava Tava Nawai. You know who I'm most chuffed about?
You are most chuffed about Du Plessis Corifi, because you've been talking him up all season.
Have I?
Episode, we were talking about two teams which were not the Hurricanes, and you were like, but how about Du Plessis Corifi? That's how much he was on your mind.
He's been just playing really fucking good all year.
Yeah.
He's just, the only thing that goes against him, he's not a big unit.
He's not massive,
He's not a big unit. So you can't just say, okay, we can throw him on at his impact and he's going to be able to shift some meat.
And he's more or less a seven.
He's an 80 sub.
Whereas, you know, you look at Jacobson can play 6-7-8. You look at Papali'i can play 6-7-8.
Really bothering me.
You look at Savia can play 7-8. You know, like, Karifi's a seven. He's basically the hard tackling,
pilfering
turnover machine. You know, he's not.
And what, he could burn you on the fringes. Good pace off the mark.
But the All Blacks tend to like utility guys in many positions, but he's one of the more specialized guys.
And he's, like they said, this is one thing I agree with, they were saying, he was like, he's just the guy who just kept on working.
Yeah, they did say that. Yeah. He's been in the squad before.
Yeah.
He's never got a cap, but he might get it this time.
Hopefully they give him a bloody cap, jeez.
Yeah, especially with Jacobson not ready for the start of the French tour because he took a knock in the final, so...
Jacobson looked like a destroyed man at the end of the final, didn't he?
So we've got Corifi, Holland, Tava Tava Nawai, then Ollie Norris, the Chiefs' loose head prop.
I don't know too much about him.
Big guy. He's like, same my height, but he's a prop. So
heavier than you.
Definitely a bit heavier.
He's a lot. He's a hooker.
He's a loose head prop.
Oh, is he?
He's younger. He's stronger, fitter.
Better looking,
but not taller. He's the same height.
I looked at both your cocks.
You know how I kept going on about how I met Bryn Gatland, or I saw Bryn Gatland and I was taller than him? Yeah. If I saw Ollie Norris, I wouldn't be able to say that about him, because he's tall.
Wow.
Tall guy. And Brody McAllister's that thing on a third hooker, Chiefs hooker. That's the guy you're thinking of. So he kind of takes George Bell's spot as the third. I mean, he got Taukeao and Taylor, so realistically he's probably looking at pretty sheltered game time if he gets any.
You're running drills.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe if we win the first two tests against France, he probably gets a crack in the third.
You're running drills and you're getting a paycheck.
Probably a pretty nice paycheck.
Take a paycheck.
I think our props look fucking good.
Yeah.
Like Tamaiti Williams and Bauer Fletcher Newell.
I thought Bowers had a pretty good season.
Bauer didn't make it. They kept De Groot. But Tamaiti Williams has been good. Yeah. Pasilatos is a big fucking enormous beast of a man. So
it really helps to be big, doesn't it?
Yeah, big. Your big man beats your little man, right? So
that's right.
That's the thing. I mean, the halfbacks are the same. Roygaard, Ratsimo and Hotham. D-Mac and Bodie are the two tens. Maybe Ruben Love as the utility guy, 23 jumper, if not D-Mac. Pay Bodie at
what
fullback.
What have we got?
Only two wingers, though.
Yeah, so we've got Sevu and Clark.
Sevu and Clark, and everyone else is kind of like Tava Tava Nawai can play wing. So, you know, Jordy can play wing.
I think
Rico
we lose something
wing.
Not having Black Mamba. What's his name?
Talia. He's going overseas.
I'd like to see him in that team.
But he's going overseas.
I would like to see him in that
team. So he's dead to them.
Taking money. I feel a little bit uncomfortable with our wingers.
Quintupaya returns.
Good to see him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he deserves it. He played very well all year.
Yeah. So who goes to the wing?
This list.
If not, like, if one of those wingers goes down, who do you play on the wing? Do you put Jordan on the wing and play Bodie at fullback?
Maybe. They've done it before, haven't they?
Mm.
And you've also, at a pinch...
there's a bunch of those guys in a pinch that can play.
Rico, you
are. Rico, for sure. Rico.
Arguably his best position.
Ruben Love's played on the wing for the All Blacks in that one game he played. So, Yeah, but I think it was against Japan.
Hmm. What's your order in terms of priority for the halfbacks?
I think it's Roygaard, Ratsuma, Hotham in that order.
Hotham's been playing really well.
Mm.
Hotham played fantastic in the final, played much better than Ratsuma.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's had probably had a much better season.
Mm-hmm.
I go form Hotham, but I go in reality Roygaard, Hotham, Ratsuma.
There you go.
I think Ratsuma doesn't offer as much as Hotham, personally.
We'll see.
Who's your starting midfielders? Anton Leonard-Brown, Jordy Barrett, Rico Ioane. Anton's injured
for the moment. So do he's we not see... for, I think Jordy starts at 12.
Partnered probably with Rico. Go
Rico, but I'd love to see Proctor.
Yeah. There's so many midfielders. They need to... Yeah. One less midfielder, one more outside back for me would make me feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
Do they...
If Tangi Tau had not got injured at the start of the season for the Highlanders, he might have been a shout, but he missed half the year.
Tangi Tau and also the other Naholo.
Oh, Kenny, if he got not got injured as well. Both those guys would have been a good shout.
They were on track.
But they both got injured the wrong time. I think you go
Naholo instead of probably Quinto Tupaia.
Maybe.
I think Quinto Pais deserves a spot. Mm-hmm. Or Timothy Tamatawa-Nawai.
Yeah.
How do we patch a team together amongst this lot?
I know.
Feels like we're light on the outside.
How do you reckon about Wallace Satiti's pick? Because he's not been in amazing form, but...
I think just basically based on the fact that he was World Rugby Player... He was Rookie of the Year last year. You can't keep him out. And he just showed way too much quality at that level. He was short of a gallop all season.
Caleb Clark didn't get that many chances for the Blues this year because they played a pretty tight game.
But Caleb Clark had a great season last year, and I think that you've got to treat, you've got to have some stock in your old form.
A lot of people say ALB shouldn't have got picked because he's missed so much of the year. He's not, you can't pick him on form because he's been injured, and they should have had another winger, like you say.
ALB's got that experience, that old head, like, we've got less and less, how many players we still got back from that 20, okay, is the only player from 2015 that era now? Buddy Barrett.
I think so. Everyone else is too young.
Buddy Barrett, the oldest in the team.
He probably is. The age is, he's 34.
Scott Barrett.
31. Paddy Tupolev is 32.
Wow.
But it was Retallick and Whitelock in 2015.
I think Scott Barrett really came right towards the end of the year, but I still feel like the better captain would be Artie Sevier. I really do. I think they've made their bid, and they have to line it in terms of the decision they made last year.
Can't just chop and
change
it. Guys who missed out injured, Almua, Tuangafasi, Derry, and Lakai, plus Perfetta, who's just unlucky.
Yeah, right. Ethan Blackadder, I thought that he was like a razor favourite sort of thing.
I did see someone mention, I haven't seen it confirmed, that he's been linked with a move to Japan, so maybe he's another one.
They're saying, well,
he's like 31 or something, so
yeah, fair play.
He's had injuries.
Oh, actually, and you know who I think he's travelling with the team, Christian Lilawili.
Lilawili has had a good season.
He's had a fantastic season. I think he would. I thought they probably would have taken him over Duplessis completely.
He's cover for like Jacobson at the moment. So,
Man, it was weird to be the guy with the hat. I never have notes.
I know.
I never refer to notes. But I really wanted to cast a thorough eye on
There's
that.
Something comforting about having notes.
It makes you feel like you know what you're talking about.
That's it, even if you don't.
Yeah.
But you're happy with the All Blacks squad largely?
Don't drink the Kool-Aid. If there's any injuries, let's get another outside back.
Okay. Well, Narawa is in the squad at the moment because ALB is unfit. So
I would have liked to see Narawa. Maybe that's
he is eligible to play, apparently. So he's not just in the squad to hold tackle backs. He's eligible to play.
I think he played pretty well. I like Narawa around the fringes. Yeah. I think he might be able to fill a lot of those capabilities that our man, fucking Black Mamba, what's his name?
Mark Talia.
Mark Talia fills.
I've actually got the names today. I don't believe it.
Boom.
Take that. Upcoming games, Boxer playing the Barbars.
Could not give a shit. I'll watch it if it was on in front of my face.
It's on Sky. I've checked the fixtures list this weekend.
Who's in the Barbars?
Peter Armani.
Oh, nice. You can swear at somebody.
That's it. The Force will host the British and Irish Lions.
Up the Force.
Japan's going to take on the Māori All Blacks.
Up the Māori Ball Māoris.
The Māori Ball Boys. England, 15 lost to a France, 15 at the weekend by 2 points. Okay. There's a couple of red cards in that game.
Nice.
I didn't watch it.
We are not recording a podcast next week, are we?
Unless you want to talk about box barbars till the cows come home.
I don't. And I'm travelling, so...
We go Napier?
Nelson.
Nelson. I know it started with an N.
Well done.
In New Zealand.
In New Zealand. Not Ngāruawhia.
No.
Yes.
Not the Netherlands where we stole Fabian Holland from.
Yes, and we've never taken a player from the Niagara
Bloody All Blacks. Just pinching all that Dutch talent. Pinching all that
Dutch talent. Jeez Louise, those bastards. I can't believe they do that. All right, Mark. Well, look, this has been another episode of...
2 Cents Gets Distracted.
It's a rugby podcast. We appreciate you coming along. We really do. This is the 102nd episode.
I didn't mean to be so salty today.
You were one salty little bitch.
I know.
Yeah. It was nice to see you a little bit salty.
I like to sense check stuff with you.
Yeah. I felt like you were a little salty.
Yeah.
There you go. Just don't give a shit. People are going to say their thing. You do get very little pushback in your videos.
No, so that's right. Because I feel like I'm pretty reasonable.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas that's why when I was like, oh, why are all these people saying we're bitching? Because I didn't think we bitched.
I think it's just my mere presence.
Maybe.
Maybe you just
that's true. That's true. There you go. It's all your fault. Yeah, now it all makes sense.
When I get people give me shit, I'm just like, okay, cool. Wicked. Yeah, but to be fair, I had a big bitch about the fact that the Lions are whinging, taking all that.
Yeah.
And like, you want to give me grief? That's cool. It's just an opinion. It's just an opinion.
You're allowed to have one.
And so are you. Comment below.
If you want to sponsor this podcast.
We need a fucking sponsor.
We haven't had one for weeks.
I know. We're having to get our own beers.
I know.
It's ruthless.
This.
This could be yours.
You could be part of this.
Ooh la la.
Magnificent production.
We need to, because we've got, of the say, the full pie of 100% of people who clicked on this video,
mm-hmm.
we're dwindling around 12% of those people are still watching. So we probably need to mention it.
At the start of the video.
We turn around and go, welcome to 2 Cents Gets Distracted, sponsor this podcast.
Yes. But if you've got a small business or a large business.
Or a big cock.
And would like to buy us some beers.
Or a small cock.
We only really take a nominal beer money fee.
Or no cock at all. We'll take females.
Goodness me. Don't worry about it. We'll buy our own beers.
You think I just talked ourselves out of a sponsorship? Somebody was like,
there was someone writing, who was just about, oh.
Someone was writing out a big old check and then was like, there's too much cock and vagina talk here.
Yeah, no.
Sorry about that. Apologize.
Parts thing.
If you want to make any comments to say that I will sponsor without any cock talk, probably can't do that either.
Yeah, sorry about that. We can't guarantee that.
Cock talk comes out quite a lot.
Yes.
This is 2 Cents Talks About Cock.
A cock podcast. All right,
we're getting silly. All right, fantastic. Well done. All right, hi dear. Thank you for watching.
Take care, folks. Bye-bye. Well done, Crusaders.